Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've got a 7-year-old and I'm a 47-year-old, and he's just learning to skateboard, and I was a skateboarder since 1980. He had been begging me all week to prove to him that I could do a kickflip, because he really hasn't seen Daddy be an active guy. You know, I do all that at work, and when I come home, I'm exhausted. This weekend, I had to haul a whole bunch of pallets to the back of the house because I was using them for projects and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm outside skateboarding with my son, and I'm doing kickflips and other tricks I haven't done in 20 years. And I'm like, this isn't me. This is who I used to be, but this isn't me. Maybe I need to change my language now. You know, this is me. What I have been for a while has not been the real me. So it's amazing what the body can do when it's fed the right thing, you know. It just can heal itself.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
When you realize that mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks, it's time to tune into The Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
I'm prepared to say that I have a record of over 40 years and that I'm going to beat Joe Biden. Look at my record.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden.
Clearly, I consider the Trump administration a danger to the world, but I regard it as a purely temporary phenomenon that will disappear in 2020.
Wow. All three statements.
Yeah.
All three are scary in their own right. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show, final hour. And glad you're on board. Glad you're listening today. We're live. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
Oh, boy. On the break, Uncle Milty and I were just talking about how conditioned we are, you know, how conditioned we've been. And how do you break out of that? How do you get people to break out of that conditioning? It's tough. It's really tough. You could have a gazillion articles coming out talking about the fact that, you know, this was faked and that was faked and this isn't true. And it doesn't, people still cling. They cling to it because of the one life theory, right? It's about one life. One life. We can have zero deaths to anything in the world. Otherwise, you know, we failed.
Well,
it's bizarre.
The true believers, like when if I say to someone, which I often do, hey, really, when you think about it in the big picture, 200,000 deaths isn't very many.
No.
Well, it would be if it was your grandmother.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
so
invariably,
tired of that.
That's the answer, right?
Yeah, you're right.
But those people who feel that way would say the exact thing if I said, you know, in the big picture, it's really only 832 deaths. It's no big deal. They'd still say, well, if it was your grandmother, it would be.
If you said four deaths, they said it could be your grandmother.
What if it was your grandmother? So you can't win against that argument. That argument is undefeatable.
You're right. You're right. It's like that final card that somebody plays and they put it down on the deck. You just can't reason with that. The oddest thing is that they didn't ever use it before.
No.
So when it came to flu and everything, it was never used. And now it's used. Why is that? Why are we trained to think in those terms right now?
Here's my real fear.
Okay.
It's been used now for COVID. Are they going to start using it for other things? Are they going to start using that same type of fear manipulation to get us to give up our guns, to give us to give up our cars, to give us to give up lots of things?
Right.
Because they've gotten the fear motivation down pretty pat
they
with the
really
COVID.
They really do. My gosh, and it's still working.
Yeah.
Well, how are we going to combat that? Because that really is probably one of the most sinister things going on right now is the propaganda brainwashing of Americans. I mean, to the point of so much fear that Psychology Today came out with, here are the common dreams about pandemic. And people keep having, I mean, this is really on the uptick, contracting and dying alone, waking up anxious about it, scared they're going to get it, fear that a loved one had to look at them through a window. I mean, we're talking a lot of people suffering from a lot of anxiety and dreams and all kinds of things because of what's going on.
Yeah.
Just the abuse. It's psychological abuse is what it is.
But what I've seen happening over this last 7 months, you know, because a lot of people at church really, really fell for this at the start of it. And I keep in contact with these people.
Sure.
And I'm noticing more and more of them are kind of snapping out of it.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
They're just, you know, I don't think you can keep that level of manipulative fear going for a long extended period of time.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now. People are snapping out of it.
They're burning out.
Yeah.
So what happened was they've tried to sell the vaccine coming to you because they thought people were going to want it. Now, of course, two-thirds of the country is saying there's no way they'd get it. So now what are they doing? What's the psychological angle now? The psychological angle that they're using now is, well, we want to make sure it's safe, so we're going to pull it until it is, and then you're going to want it, because they realize that people weren't ponying up to the bar for this thing. They don't want it. They simply don't want it. And so that's been kind of interesting to watch people kind of back off, back off, back off. It's good. It's really good. I only know of a couple of people, a mayor and some other people that have said, I'll be the first in line. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
You can't buy that kind of, you know, idiocy, but I will say this though, their backtracking is it effective? Is it effective? I guess I should ask it as a question. Is this, we're going to pull it over one case scenario. One person had an adverse reaction. We never ever worried about adverse reactions before. But we're going to put this out there and then we're going to hold it back in. And we're going to hope that you still want this. And that because once the states start trying to force it, you know.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's that they even hope we'll still want it. What I think they're hoping for is if they pull it back away from you, you know, now you're being denied it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fear of loss.
Right.
The fear of loss is a huge motivator.
Yes.
Well, now they're not going to give us the vaccine. What's the matter? Do they want us to die?
Yeah.
I better get that vaccine before they seriously won't let us have it.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
So worst case scenario, they said 400,000 people will die of flu and COVID.
Together in December.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah. And and they're still backtracking to the end of May when flu started disappearing. You know, that was kind of a funny story.
Well,
too.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say if 400,000 people die by December, as long as it's not my grandmother, I don't give a crap.
So nice and cynical. I really appreciate you. It's pretty. The manipulation alone is. Just depressing. But I think really, if you understand it and you know, you can see it, then hopefully maybe other people are seeing it too. Let's hope. Cause I'm still alarmed that so many people will not just walk into a store when clearly at this point in the game, you could get away with it. Now the stores aren't going to say much to you, but how do you get that person to take that off?
You know, here's what, it's really interesting, but there's a lot of side things going on that we're not really seeing much about. Like, there's a lot going on in the Catholic Church right now. There's priests getting excommunicated because they're not liberal enough.
Right.
You know, there's some really strange things going on in the Catholic Church. That is making Catholics say, you know, there's a lot of strange things going on all over.
This
COVID thing is pretty strange, too.
Right.
It's those kind of side issues are starting to wake people up to the big picture.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. You're right. And as more people wake up, as we go into this flu season, will people be more aware than ever? Oh, man, I'm hoping for that. I really am.
Have you ever been afraid of the flu?
No.
Are you going to be this flu season?
No.
But there are a lot of people that are going to be.
Yeah. They sure, yeah.
They've never been afraid of the flu before, but this year they're going to be.
Yes, but this year they are. Interesting. They're really doing a number on us in the press. They really are. Besides for voting that I mentioned in the last hour, making voters seem very apathetic. We're not really interested in voting. To you name it. I mean, my gosh. They've even, I swear we should name this hour the biggest manipulation that you could find. We flipped on a game. And it was so funny how far they're going to make sure people realize that people are still watching sports. And I'm laughing because it's so ridiculous to watch. And they've lost 16% of their base, which, by the way, I think it's more. They just won't admit it. And people are just tuning out. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it. They don't even want to watch. They don't want to watch these teams. That no fans. No, I mean, why? You know, what's the point? And the manipulation that goes on to get people excited about watching it, it's just funny to watch. I don't know. Are we seeing all these manipulations?
The sports thing really cracks me up.
Yeah.
Because I left professional sports years ago.
Did you?
I've said it many times, but after the first big baseball strike, I said, the heck with these guys. I'm not giving them any more of my money. Yeah. And I lost interest in all of it.
And
it's happening to a lot of people today now.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll get to that point.
We have, I think.
By the way, I just wanted to mention this. If you didn't hear, there was a federal judge that weighed in, of course, on COVID, right? And basically said that it was violating the Constitution. Mm. All of the things that went on violated the Constitution. I was really glad to see that. We're not seeing enough of that. And does it take a little time for these people to get courage? I don't know, but it was nice to see a federal judge weigh in on it, finally, with some common sense and saying that the measures were absolutely unconstitutional. Good. Let's see more of that, because I know they're chalking that up to, well, that's just one judge.
Yeah,
well,
right.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Hopefully more will get more courage in that. I really do hope so. And I really do. I think there needs to be an investigation on John Roberts, too, on the Supreme Court. I think there needs to be a big investigation on who is he bought by.
And, yeah, because he's made some very interesting changes.
Yeah, very interesting changes and the things that he's supported through all along. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know who's got dirt on him and look at a real look at his career. You know, Scalia was murdered, and I don't know if anyone's ever really gotten that memo yet, and I'm sure all of you have, but the majority of the world hasn't, and there was a lot more to that, too, when it comes to judges, bringing up judges, but justice for him at some point would be nice. It'd be nice. We used to say on the show, if we were ever found at a Democrat's home with a pillow over our face and we died, please do an investigation. Please do an autopsy. We said that on the show right after he died because I remember thinking it was just so odd. And the way judges are brought in and maybe brought out, you know, of the circuit, kind of interesting. And Scalia was a big one that I think people should have woken up to a while ago, but we didn't. I don't think we didn't. Well, we didn't. The media didn't tell anyone to be very interested in that story and kind of treated it like, oh, you know, stuff happens every day. Really? Mm-hmm. A federal judge just dies in his sleep like that. Kind of interesting. Anyway, when we come back to phone lines are open, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. We'll take your calls. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. KateDalyRadio.com. Hey, come on.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com, katedalyradio.com. And appreciate you. Your phone calls, too, are welcome. 888-673-1450. Welcome back, Uncle Milty. And we were just talking about Peter Strzok. You watched Peter Strzok on an interview. There's something really wrong with
Peter
him.
Strzok was on Meet the Press Sunday. Uh-huh. pumping his new book.
Of course.
What a title.
Yeah.
Compromised. Counterintelligence and the threat of Donald J. Trump. He looked right in the camera and said, regardless of everything that happened, the Mueller failure, regardless of all of that, I'm telling you, President Trump has been co-opted by the Russians. They own him.
What was the title of the book?
Compromised, Counterintelligence, and the Threat of Donald J. Trump.
You know how they always say invert a name of a bill if you really want to know what it's about? If it says safe cities, it means everything but safe cities. So this book really should have been called The Counterintelligence Threat, right?
Right.
It's the Counterintelligence Threat, because that's basically what's been compromised here.
Well, here's how they're trying to give Strzok some credibility. Listen to this.
Okay.
When he opened the FBI investigation into Russia's election interference, Peter Strzok had already spent more than two decades defending the United States against foreign threats.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I believe whatever he says.
There you
two
go.
Whole decades.
The most credible guy in Washington.
As a spy. Perfect. Thanks. The same guy that let the Clinton Foundation off the hook and would not pursue an investigation on it, even though there were so many things that needed to be investigated. Same guy. Wow. I don't think I'll be having him on the show for his book. Thanks, though. Thanks. Can you even? It's just funny sometimes how the titles of the book really do tell all, kind of like the names of bills. I mean, it really does tell you exactly what's in the bill. Mm. It's a don't look here situation, and it's always the reverse. It's funny. And anyway, I always find that kind of amusing. I was also looking at this piece that. It had kind of an interesting premise, and it was, do fans matter when it comes to the NFL? And I don't know how many of you watch the NFL, but do fans matter? I'm actually wondering, are we entering this whole new phase of the perpetual pandemic that we're going to be entering, I guess, right? Because they've got 300 more vaccines in the works. And so if this is the new state of how we deal with this, and you get to watch it on TV with pictures of fans and basically posters of fans. Do fans matter? Does it matter to you that you're not allowed there to watch? I was wondering about this because when I was watching this yesterday, I was thinking about how much we're going to put up with. And are people as energized, the teams? And they were worried on the screen. They were saying how they were worried about the players not getting the cheers and the momentum from the fans. And does it matter? And I thought, I wonder if it really does matter to people. Like, are they accepting of this new norm? Do they actually think it's going to go back to normal if we don't start standing up and saying something? Or especially, like in this case, turning away so it drives them to start doing this differently? I don't know. Why can't fans go in and sign a waiver? My gosh, why can't you walk into the stands if you want to take that on yourself?
You should be able to.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason that people can't make these choices for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, they're worried about their grandmother.
Right. There was a team that locked arms with the other team, and they said there was booing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's kind of interesting. People are in this kind of genre, in this age, that's probably their biggest fan would be between my age and your age, probably just that core fan that's been a fan for decades. And I wonder how much they're going to put up with that.
I don't think they're going to put up with it very long. And I think that's what's going to happen is we're going to see these guys that have been getting paid millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars for playing a game are going to not get that money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these owners aren't going to keep paying those kind of salaries if there's no fans.
Right.
There has to be. It's just like a newspaper. It has to have readers to sell advertising.
Right.
The NFL has to have fans to sell their games.
Yeah. So here they are, some of them doing the Star Spangled Banner plus the Black Lives Matter anthem.
Oh.
And that's exactly the tone of the nation right now.
Oh.
Really? So I'm wondering why, to me, take it out, I almost take it out completely. And I know some people would disagree with that. They think, you know, we have to have the national anthem. I don't know why that started before a sports game. I don't know why it has to be played before a sports game. But I do find that conversation kind of interesting. Sometimes we get used to things. I understand that. But to have to play both to appease that crowd, I can't imagine too many people wanting that.
Well, first of all, it's not a crowd.
Yeah, you're right. It isn't a crowd. So who are they playing it for? So I thought that was kind of interesting. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi.
Just a side note about the NFL. My husband's been a Cowboys fan since he was a little boy.
Uh-huh.
His whole life.
Right.
And he watched their first game on Sunday just to see if they would continue the garbage.
Uh-huh.
Or if they would rise up and be America's team like they claim to be. And only one player knelt, and it was like a nobody, no big star. Everybody else stood. But to put it in perspective, they had zero fans. They played in L.A. L.A., that new stadium that they built, cost $5 billion with a B. Billion.
Wow.
With zero fans in there. How are they going to pay for that?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know.
And so people are just like, they're done with it. He said, I'm done. I don't even care to watch any of it anymore.
Yeah. I think that's the sentiment of a lot of people right now. Way more than 16%.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of sad. It was like something he looked forward to every season.
Yeah.
But, you know, put your money where your mouth is.
Right. Right. I agree. Thank you for that. Really. To put up with it.
To support him.
Yep, I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, a lot of people are feeling that way. And the reason I said don't do anything is I don't want my flag defiled by these guys week after week. I don't want them to be able to do all their antics and make it a political thing and turn it into something. I don't want them to have that opportunity. And that's why I'm saying remove it completely.
Did you know how it started? The Star Spangled Banner being played at sporting events.
How did it start?
Years ago,
we did the story, but I can't remember.
In the seventh inning stretch of the 1918 World Series,
right?
They played it.
Interesting.
And after that, then they started playing it during each game of the series.
Okay.
And then eventually it started being played at the beginning of every ball game.
Every sports game. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Interesting. Go right ahead.
Hey. Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Hi.
I totally agree. I think we should just remove it. It doesn't need to be, if we're going to argue about it, let's just remove the argument. I think that's a great idea. The one thing that I will mention, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but one of the big tour buses that was taking around either an NBA team or an NFL team, I think it was NBA, they pulled in to one of their venues, and of course, Black Lives Matter attacked it. So even though they're showing, you know, all of their support and bowing to the mob could care less.
Right.
When you have a bully and you give in to the bully, the bullying does not stop.
Yes.
And I just had to laugh my head off because here they are filming from within the bus, and this mob is in their face, will not allow them to pull up and move forward. And if you want to see what a demonistic, you know, possessed person looks like, it's pretty scary. To be on the other side of that glass, you know, in that bus, and you're just watching these people scream and swear and curse and try. I mean, thankfully they couldn't get in the bus, and the bus driver wasn't trying to push back in any way. But
a scary group.
It's never enough. It is never enough. And they can kneel and they can beg and they can say please all they want. It does not matter because they will just continue to do. More and more.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate that because just ask Rand Paul when he got surrounded. They're out for blood. They're a very interesting terrorist group.
This bus that the caller was talking about was the NBA media bus that follows the team.
Right.
It wasn't the team bus, but the media bus they went after. The media. They went after the media.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Your last caller
agreed with something you said, and I don't know that I don't know that I agree with that. You said take it out completely.
I did, because it's a sport event. It's a sporting event. Why are we so hell-bent on having them do that to the flag, I guess? If they're going to do that, then take it out. I don't think they deserve to be in the same room with the flag if that's what they're going to do.
Well, I would agree with that particular sentiment, but mm-hmm. if you take it out, then they win.
I don't know that they win, though. I'm not quite sure that... Go ahead, Uncle Milton.
Well, they don't win because it's two reasons. It doesn't... It's not disrespectful to just mm-hmm. not do it.
Right.
And they don't get to put on their show.
Yeah, they don't get to put on their political version of their show. So to me, I mean,
They may not be able to put on their political show, but mm-hmm. what about the rest of us who want to see that?
Okay.
Who want to stand for the flag, who want to to salute and sing the anthem.
Okay.
We lose.
Right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are
more than them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's why I say we lose.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, thank you. And there's a lot of people out there that probably have that sentiment. So, yeah, we could have quite a debate about this, I'm sure.
Well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We do lose.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the better loss? To continue this ridiculous thing before each game?
Mm-hmm.
Or to just end it totally?
Yeah. Where right now the anthem shares space with... Communist anthem.
Yes, communist anthem. Kneeling, all kinds of abuse, disrespect.
Yeah.
If you take it away, there's no more disrespect. That's a win.
Yeah. And the way I look at it, too, along with that, is because it's such a great point, but take a step back for just a moment. We're playing the national anthem at a sporting event. And they're allowed to make it into something that it's not, okay?
Right.
But why are we playing it at a sporting event? Why is it so crucial to us to have it at a sporting event? I mean, to me, it's a sporting event. So when did that become such a thing that now it's a huge loss for the country not to have it at a sporting event? There's something about it that doesn't make sense to
me. Well, we've been doing it for 100 years.
Yeah.
That alone is enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I mean, if you're just used to it and you want to see it,
every true American mm-hmm. loves to hear the national anthem.
Sure.
And watch the flag raise and, you know, mm-hmm. but when it becomes this,
right.
then there's no reason to watch that.
Well,
end it. Let them do that.
Yeah, and I was reading a meme today about Colin Cancer, the death of the NFL to Colin Cancer, Colin Kaepernick. We'll talk about this when we come back. I do want your thoughts, though, on this. 888-673-1450. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. We invite your calls, 888-673-1450. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature and order up. Put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E. You'll get 35% off. It's over a third off and free shipping. You can't beat it anywhere, especially with all the things they're putting in this. It comes with a wonderful fiber drink, 31 fruits and vegetables dehydrated down. You can take it every day. You'll get all the health benefits of that, and it'll change your world. Plus, you're working on your immune system and strengthening that, and I think we're going to need our vitamins coming up here for what's coming. So I would absolutely say to anyone on the air or off the air, please, this is something that you really need to be taking. What a supplement it is. And there are people that I know that are in somewhat dire straits that are starting to take it for the health benefits because, you know, right now, there's that's the only way really to heal us is to help those nutrients along. And I don't know of a better way to do it than Balance of Nature. So go to balanceofnature.com. They also have a fiber drink with it that's amazing, and it tastes like kind of like spiced apples. It's really, really good. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll start to see and feel the benefits of this within about 2 weeks. You'll start feeling that. All right, let's take some phone calls because I can see both sides of the issue. I can see how on this one particularly, I can see how people would be feeling like we conceded if they take it out, mm-hmm. you know, and I can feel like, and I also understand that why let them continue to do that to something that's special to people. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just had a point I wanted to make.
Sure.
Obviously, we all agree that every life matters.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you can't make somebody matter. You know, they have to take their own initiative to obtain job skills or obtain an education or
uh-huh.
be given that direction at a young age. But you can't force a culture or any individual to matter. They have to take that upon themselves or be shown that at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force us to make you matter. That's just not
okay.
That's just not possible.
Okay. Well,
just wondered what your thoughts were
on
that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. Going deep, huh? All right. Thanks for the call.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. We'll take calls on all the issues we've been talking about. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I realized President Trump is busy today.
Mm-hmm.
But tomorrow, he can sign an executive order. All CDL drivers who
mm-hmm.
have their Second Amendment rights
mm-hmm.
can carry a personal handgun any way they want in all 50 states.
Mm.
Period. Signed.
Interesting.
We've got to tighten up our food supply system.
Okay.
The silliness we're enduring now,
mm-hmm.
starving people do not ask. Starving people take. And when that happens, we will have a problem.
Yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Interesting thought. Hi, caller. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, people who are wondering what Black Lives Matter really is about ought to look up what they call color revolution.
Mm.
These are like with the red parties, mm-hmm. the communists, the Green Party in Europe. They're in Africa, they have some that are orange, some that are yellow. They are socialist in nature. Black Lives Matter is a color revolution.
Here
party.
It's
their
purple.
Platform is Marxist.
Yeah, it's purple.
It is not
Do
about
you remember?
Black Lives Matter. It is about a Marxist group.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember Hillary wearing her purple and Bill? It's purple here. Yeah, it's you're right. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts, who's been on our show numerous times, wrote an article about that. We're in the middle of a color revolution and we don't realize it.
Right. So they use it under mm-hmm. the idea that it's about black lives, but it's really they're using the color black. Just like every other revolutionary group. And this is something that the progressives or the whatever you want to, socialist, Marxist
mm-hmm.
groups have used many times, is that they take their party and they put it under a form of a color to represent it.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it. Yeah, mm-hmm. We've been talking about a color revolution. I mean, honestly, we're in one. We just don't know it, and it'll be interesting to see how they try to do it here, as they're trying right now. They've tried to throw everything, you know, at the book on this.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so we were talking a little bit about the Star Spangled Banner and playing that for sports events and how it's become a tradition, right? Over
yeah.
100 years, right?
Yeah.
And I understand traditions. I like traditions, actually. I'm a traditions girl, so I totally get that. And I get the emotions that are wrapped up into this, too. I do.
Well, that and part of the Communist Manifesto mm-hmm. is do away with
yep.
the traditions.
Yep. So I can see both sides, and I can see the one caller saying, "Don't we lose if we were to take it out?" I see that side, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me would feel like that because you'd be kind of sad about that because you'd realize that you were losing, and probably for the reason that you didn't want this to be happening all the time anymore because you're just tired of watching this happen and probably raises the blood pressure too much for a lot of us who love what that flag stands for and what in the Constitution, what that was written for and what our country stood for. So it's very difficult when you start to take all that emotion in. And it's a very emotional thing. And that's why they do it regarding this.
Yep.
This is exactly why they go to this issue, and they try to make something of it in this way, is to get us some emotional, because they know that they're hitting us hard where people have a lot of emotions and a lot of pride in their country. But it is. It's a tough one because there's a couple of ways to view this. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay. On your YouTube video from, I believe it was last Thursday, show, you mentioned the overnight bags for the kids to take to school as if they might need to stay overnight.
Yeah.
I think you're 100% right about that. I think that's the perfect way to control parents. You know, if you put them overnight, or if that overnight turns into a week or two, I think you're 100% right. I think people should have their red flags go up and just, boy,
isn't that scary, right? They've never, ever put that out there. There was never a reason to even think in those terms. Why now? Yeah, very scary. Thank you for that comment. Really appreciate that. Yeah, really scary. By the way, New York Times put out 30 years ago that universities were training kids up to be in Marxism. They said that in 1989, New York Times finally admitted it in 1989. It had been going on for quite some time, but they finally admitted it 30 years ago. And look where we're at today. And look at all these athletes on the field that just don't mind ponying up to, let's say, the Communist Manifesto, because that's what Black Lives Matter is all about. So that part is intriguing. You know, I saw a photo of one girl standing while all the rest were kneeling. And you think, what courage it took for that young girl and on that sports team to stand while everyone else was kneeling. In America, I feel like everyone needs the freedom. We need the freedom to express ourselves. I get that part. I'm okay with that. I think what's hard for most of us is the ignorance attached to it. It's like the complete ignorance of these kids not knowing what they're kneeling for.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, if you're going to express something, know what you're talking about. Something
Please.
Like that, you know, especially against the very country that you live in. But so that's the hard part for me, is the ignorance. And I guess the political aspirations of trying to make whatever they're doing in sports and using their career and their advantage and their opportunity to turn it into a political statement of which they have no idea what they're talking about. So that's hard to watch too. And I know they were given those opportunities. That's why it's really funny when they're the ones that are doing this, because my gosh, talk about some of the most elitist citizens with their high profile careers and their wealth and everything else that they've gotten. Obviously it didn't apply to them. What they think they're standing for. So that part's hard to watch. But I do get both sides of that.
Ignorance is always hard to watch.
I know. It's frustrating. And I think sports in general right now is such a frustration for people that I get why people are just turning it off altogether. It's like, well, I guess we just, this year we know we're not going to get any movies, and they're crap anyway, so that's good. Sports, well, it's turned into a crap show anyway, so that's good. Now what are we going to do? Because people are so wired into these kinds of things for entertainment. What are we going to do?
Wow.
I know. You know, you would think that this gave everybody an opportunity to start realizing what's going on in their schools, what's going on in their government, to be more invested.
You would think,
but I think there are so many people out there with the tone of, I can't handle it, therefore I just need to put my head in the sand because I can't handle that kind of stress. And that's unfortunate, because we're going to lose a lot of people like that, I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Which is crazy.
I know.
You can do it.
Yeah. And now people are turning to dreams. It's kind of interesting. I get a lot of people on tape with their dreams sent to me. And I don't know if you've had a lot of dreams lately about end times or whatever the case may be, but it seems like getting out of the political mess and looking more for inspiration spiritually, whether it's through dreams or whatever the case may be. I'm just getting sent a lot of videos like that lately. So it must be what people are really truly looking at for any kind of hope through this. Or just maybe a foreshadowing of what's to come. Who knows? It's not like, you know, dreams haven't said things that came true, so they have. But it's just interesting the way that we're dealing with this. I don't know. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with this year? Is it any different than any other year?
Scotch. No.
Scotch.
You know, I actually, to be real honest, I deal with it through a lot of prayer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. That's kind of been the tone. I think for a lot of people, they're finally figuring that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, to get through it, because this fall and winter are going to be weird and strange and volatile. It's going to get volatile. I really do think so. And so that part has me really nervous in a lot of different areas. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
There's a lot of red flags.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the place. And
yeah.
The reason these red flags are popping up is this is all orchestrated to keep us psychologically off balance.
Yeah.
And if you're psychologically off balance, then you have a lot of trepidation, you have a lot of fear, and you're more easily manipulated. And everything that's gone on in the last 7 months, you can boil it down to one thing, and that's manipulation.
Yep.
Yep.
So
the art
what
of manipulation.
We have to do is we have to turn back to what's important, and it's not sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I became disillusioned with sports a couple decades ago. In fact, the icing on the cake was when Carl Malone was whining about he only made $4 million a year. And I thought, you poor, poor baby. You are so misunderstood,
right.
So taken advantage of.
Right.
Tell you what, let's trade lives. I was living on, I think it was $180 a week at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, let's put things in perspective.
Yeah,
but
come on.
My point is that a lot of people have used sports to distract them from what's really important, and that's their families,
mm-hmm.
their people, putting time into their kids. You know, instead of sitting there and watching a bunch of overpaid royalty,
right?
Sit down with your kids,
mm-hmm.
talk to them about how they feel, what they're doing, what their goals are.
Right.
You know, get back to the core beliefs, the family. That's what's going to save us, is the family.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate the thoughts.
That's interesting that he said that, because last week there was a story about a young man in high school in Ohio
mm-hmm.
who they're not playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And his entire life is gone.
Really?
Because his only dream was to make it to the NFL.
Jeez.
And if he can't play in high school, he's not going to be able to play in college, and he's not going to make it to the NFL. Nobody ever stopped and said, well, you know, go to college anyway, get a degree.
Yeah.
Maybe football will come back, you know,
yeah.
but keep on pushing for it. No.
Make another road for yourself.
It's let's drop mm-hmm. everything and
sure.
make sure this kid gets to play football, even though the odds are still 30-1 against them, or 50-1 against them of ever getting there.
Yeah. I mean, even worse than that.
Right.
1,000,000-1. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I sure hope this is such a great opportunity for people to get back to the basics right now. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity. We have more time to read. We have more time to catch up on all the things we didn't learn. There's just so much to do right now. You know, got to take advantage of it. Be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow on a Wednesday. And thanks, Uncle Milty. Appreciate you.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, go to katedallyradio.com. Thank you to those that contribute to the show. Much appreciated. We need it to stay on the air. I really appreciate you. You care about freedom, and I care about that. Thank you. And go to katedallyradio.com for all the podcasts. See you guys tomorrow.